Today I'm rocking the suburbs.
Patrick, I have a riddle for you. What do you get when you mix beer, wine, whiskey, and Mike Snyder?
I don't know, Jim. What do you get when you mix beer, wine, whiskey, and Mike Snyder?
A really good time. Okay, Patrick, mm-hmm. I want to take you back down memory lane for a moment here before we get started with the new topic today, all right?
Back to when you had a beard?
No, earlier than that. Okay. So first I'm going to start with this. I can see you on the Zoom camera, and we're in our basements. This show is called Rockin' the Suburbs. I'm Jim Lenihan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
And I'm going to move my camera so you can see the shirt I'm wearing, right?
Yes.
I have on my Zima T-shirt, which I believe was provided by, correct me if I'm wrong, was that Keith Jacobson who sent us these shirts?
I believe so. Mm-hmm. Yes.
I hope I have that right. If I have that wrong, then I really apologize to whoever.
Yeah,
sent it to
me
us,
too, because I think it was Keith.
I think it was.
But he sent us a lot of great T-shirts, and I love on the back it says, go with Plan Z.
Yeah. So I have this shirt because a long time ago, I think it might have been like a couple of years ago at this point, we did a Zima tasting on the show because I think we were making fun of Zima or something. And then there was like a Zima reissue and then we bought some Zima and we tasted it on the show. And then later we did a beer week on the show where we tasted different beers that were marketed in conjunction with different music artists. And then we did a whiskey week, same kind of deal with whiskeys related to musical artists. And the person who helped us set all that up was our friend Mike Snyder, and he's here on the Zoom for this recording as well. Hello, Mike.
Hi, Jim. Hi, Patrick. Good to see you guys.
God bless you, sir.
Always
you're a
good
saint,
to see you.
Gentleman and a true American hero.
So Mike made a stop at each of our homes today, just like a quick stop, drop off stuff. We can't really, you know, visit so much anymore, but he delivered product. And so today, this is kind of like a one-off. It's not a whole week or anything, but it's going to be sort of a follow-up tasting of not only musical-related alcohol, but then just other like weird or strange alcohol that's going on during the pandemic and such because people are consuming a lot. And we just thought that if we had just one music-related thing, that's enough of a connection for us to try them all.
Hell yeah. And it was like Santa Claus arriving today. And Mike did say Merry Christmas when he arrived. So it was great to see Mike in person. And Julie, she's doing well for all you out there who know she's been struggling. But she looked great today. And I think everything's on the upswing. And also, I will say this, Jim, never, ever have I been around Mike, and we've known him for a long time, when I lacked something delicious to drink. So
that's right. That is absolutely right. So Mike dropped off a bunch of stuff for us to taste. And I mentioned one of them has a music tie. And I also mentioned that's all it takes for us to drink these alcohols. But really, it doesn't even take that. It wouldn't even matter, really, if it did or not. But anyway, it gives it some reason to exist on this show. But I'll let Mike tell us what all we have, and then we can determine an order that we're going to taste them in. And then also, Mike put together a playlist to accompany the different alcohols. Right, Mike?
Well, I did. So this is a little different than our previous excursions. And I cannot guarantee you the quality we had in those excursions in the past. So you guys know I work for the money and tech section at USA Today. And a lot of times, since I've written about beer in the past, I get an alcohol in the past. For some reason, marketers and advertisers target me with products. And I just seem to be getting a lot of products lately. And I thought, you know, I'm just going to take all these products and taste them all at one time. And maybe write a story about them versus trying to do each one individual. And a lot of them are tied around special celebration day, like National Hot Dog Day or National Eat Mint Day or something. I don't know. So some of these are tied to special days. And actually, August 1st is apparently National Mustard Day. All right.
All right. Which is the day that we are recording this episode.
Right.
Okay. Yes, it is. Yes. So I didn't get around to writing a story about this, but French's teamed up with a brewery in that's originally based in Colorado. Now they have a brewery in North Carolina, too, called Oscar Blues.
Yep.
And they made a beer with mustard. So I have not tasted this yet.
Okay.
So I'm not sure what we're going to get.
That's the first one you want to do?
Yeah.
So you made a list here. Is this, I'm holding this up to the camera here. Is this the order you want to do them in?
Yeah, that's the order.
So number one is Oscar Blues and French's mustard beer.
Hey, man, are you sure this is beer? Is this not some trick to get me to drink?
Yeah, something else? Yeah. Because it's delivered in like a specimen container. Yeah.
Oh, it was great, dude. We did a whole podcast setup and then he drank it.
So I only had two cans of beer. So I divvied up one for you guys. I'll add the sound effects here.
All right.
Ooh, nice.
So So French is not the blues. Hmm. They sent me a glass.
Oh, to go nice, put beer man. In.
Are you guys doing video of this?
Yeah.
Yes.
We're recording this.
So people can see what the beer looks like.
Wow. See?
There we go. There's the money shot.
That's okay. That can, man. Whew.
I'm kind of excited about this. This is interesting. Let me ask you this. I know you're fans of beer. Are you in general fans of mustard?
I love mustard.
Oh, yeah.
So do I.
Yeah. Back about 10 or 15 years ago, I learned to quit putting ketchup on hot dogs.
Oh, yeah. Man, a good mustard stone is the way mustard. To go. I have something to say about mustard.
Even just
too.
Regular yellow mustard is delicious.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes.
It's like mm-hmm. the simplest, most delicious food, right?
Yeah. So the brewer at Oscar Blues says each batch of this beer has 150 pounds of the mustard in it.
Wow.
It also has key lime, lemon, tangerine, and passion fruit to create a tropical wheat ale. Mm. All right.
All right. I'm going to hold up my Rock in the Suburbs glass here for the Whoa. Camera. If you can see that.
Wow. I definitely taste the mustard, man.
Yeah, for sure.
Man, it is really in there.
I think I probably should have gave you guys, we should have had sausages grilled
yeah.
first.
But. Yeah, right.
Yeah, a nice kielbasa would be good.
This reminds me of a bit of a sour beer yeah. in a yeah. way. The mustard makes it almost like a sour.
Yeah, and it kind of looks like it too. It's got those fruity notes. Kind of... you know, light looking, definitely not too hazy,
yeah.
you know, not as clear as a pale ale.
It does kind of look like if you had a Hefeweizen,
mm-hmm.
yeah, which I love.
Like exactly. Wow. It is really in there.
Well, see, I don't know. To me, I think this is a great blend. It has that little bit of that mustard taste, but I don't find it overpowering at all.
No.
I think it's really
it's
very
off-putting.
Smooth.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. yeah.
I think by the third drink, your taste buds have acclimated a bit yeah. and it isn't as scary. Yeah. You know, the first drink
right.
before you got the second drink with that mustard on your tongue is kind of. Whoa, dude.
When you hear this, you think it's going to be some really thick, syrupy Drake or something like that, right? Really?
Yeah.
Like too much. Yeah. It's not like that at all. It's actually kind of light.
You could go get some out of the fridge and pour some mustard in.
Dude, I like this a lot.
That's it. You know, so I didn't want to read it, but Paste Magazine did something on this. I saw it on Twitter. I think mm-hmm. they liked it too.
Mm.
So. So people that want to try this,
yeah.
there's a very nice online beer seller called Craft Shack,
mm-hmm.
CraftShack, and it'll be on sale there,
oh.
and you can buy it.
Sweet.
If you're a wheat beer lover. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, if you like a Hefeweizen.
Sour beer yeah. lover.
Will it be in stores where Oscar Blues is
no,
sold?
No, it will not.
It will
won't
not.
Be distributed quite that wide.
Will it be in stores next to the mustard? Be over there.
Where they should put it.
Yeah.
You yes. know what? They have some recipes. Some people, before they grill their brats or their sausages, boil them in beer.
Yep. Yes.
I've done that.
They Delicious. Recommend this beer for that,
oh,
too.
Oh, I definitely would love that. That's a great mm. idea.
So people can go to the French's website, mm-hmm. and they have marinades and other recipes you can use this
for. Well, I was going to say, also, it does feel like a summertime outdoor kind of a beer, right? It's not something sure. you would drink in the winter. Yes. Or the autumn or something no. like this. And I'll tell you guys this about mustard. I, at the end of last year, spent some time in Madison, Wisconsin with my middle offspring, MJ, got a master's degree from that university. And I was up there for a little bit. And I noticed one day, this is the most Paul Trapp thing ever, that right outside of town was the National Mustard Museum. In a city called Middleton, Wisconsin, literally like a 10-minute drive. So I picked MJ up. She was giving final exams, and we drove out to the Mustard Museum. And God bless their souls, man. They were trying hard to make this a good museum.
Yeah. Mustard Museum.
It was all right. Hmm. You know, it seemed like somebody had donated their entire European mustard collection, you know, and they started the museum. But plenty of free samples. And it was really good. And they also have a university attached to the National Mustard Museum. Can you guess what it's called?
No.
This what? Is going to be obvious, but I don't know.
It's called Poop on You. It's a true story. MJ bought the t-shirt.
Love it.
So
nice.
Love it. Is mustard German in origin? So. I don't even know yeah. this. I'm asking
yep.
this.
It
right.
is.
Mm-hmm. I think it is, yep. right? And also, of course, like, you know, bratwurst and stuff like that. That
totally.
The,
Eastern the, European.
Wisconsinites,
yeah.
Wisconsiners, whatever, love to yep. love to eat. It's a German area.
Yep. Germany, Poland.
So that makes sense.
Embraced that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely Slavic, Eastern European. And that's obviously Wisconsin. There's a lot of those folks up there, too.
That's
yeah,
what I mean.
Totally.
Yeah.
So, yeah. There. Makes yeah. a lot of sense.
In mm-hmm. that area. Yes.
I mean, they have a cheese castle.
Did you have any Rhinelander shorties?
No, I did not.
That's farther up north. That's yeah. up. That's up north. Woods,
I gotta call
Wisconsin.
Mrs. Captain Doug for that one.
So I think I probably like this beer better than I would like their food they put out last year, which was mustard flavored ice. That was what they did for Mustard Ooh. Day last year.
Yeah,
I think the beer
definitely is a better.
Might
move.
Pass on yeah. that. And Oscar Blues is a good brewery.
Oh, yeah, it's
right?
well I mean, known.
Don't they
really good
beer? Dale's Pale
Dale's
Ale.
Pale Ale.
Yeah,
craft beers widely distributed. distributed in cans, and I would highly recommend that.
They sort of brought back cans, didn't they? Weren't they like the first craft brewery to really make that, you know, like sort of popularize cans again?
I was saved by them once when I was in West Virginia for a soccer tournament, and there was no good beer anywhere. And then I saw they had Dale's, and that was really a good bailout.
Yeah. Yeah.
So the song I picked up for this was Mean Mr. Mustard, which is very short but sweet. Yep. Obviously part of the Beatles suite on Abbey Road. So, you know, that'd be, that's what I would pair with this.
Perfect.
Yep.
Mean Mr. Mustard sleeps in the park, shapes in the dark, trying to save paper.
So number two, a good follow-up to that is Budweiser Zero.
Oh, yeah.
So this is a new beer by Budweiser. I wrote about it recently, and it just had its national launch. I didn't realize this, but non-alcoholic beers are really getting a little bit more of the market share. Mm-hmm. Of course, they only had like 0.5% in the U.S., but now they're gone up like 40% so far this year.
Yep.
That's still not a lot, you know, when you consider everything else. But one of the big non-alcoholic beers that's really landed on the scene the last year is Heineken 0.0. So Budweiser.
Yes.
Had been thinking about something. And then Dwayne Wade, who played for Miami Heat, and he's retired. He'd been working with Budweiser on some stuff. And he'd been looking for something to drink that wasn't alcoholic and filling.
Yep.
Because he says he's always at these events and people give him beers. And he's like, at some point, I got to drive and I can't keep drinking. So the story is they got together and concocted this beer that has 50 calories, no alcohol, but it's in a Budweiser can. So.
I'm going to hold this up if we can get or Patrick's got it. There we go. Okay. Nice. Okay. Yeah. So this one, we got a full can.
Nice crack.
They sent me 2 12 packs.
Now, I want to ask you guys before we taste this, have either of you ever had non-alcoholic beer before?
Yes,
Not very often, but I have.
Yep. I'll tell you.
Yeah. Same here.
One time I was trying to dry out a little bit and I drank 42 O'Doul's to try to catch a buzz and it did not work.
Old Duels
is pretty good. It was, I can't remember who made that, Mike.
I've had it.
I think that's Anheuser Busch, right? And it's still very popular.
Yes, it is.
It doesn't have a cachet. It's not going anywhere. They think at a Bud Zero.
Totally. I can see that.
So this is what it looks like.
Mm-hmm.
I will tell you, I'm going to try this here, but I wish more bars, like live music clubs. I wish more clubs had non-alcoholic beer. I know the Black Cat does, and I've actually ordered it a couple of times. Because you know what it's like when you go to a show? You kind of feel weird if you're not, if you don't have something
in
your
hand. That's exactly what Dwayne Wade was saying.
You want to be drinking all the time. But like you're saying, like I got to drive home. And for me, from D.C. to my house, it's like so far and it's going to be late at night or whatever. And so I will get the non-alcoholic maybe like in between, you know, maybe end up having 2 beers, but drinking like 4 beverages, right? You know what I'm saying? So anyway.
That's a great point, Jim. And I'll tell you one experience in my life. I went on a trip with my wife who works, you know, has a real job and is successful and has a career. But we were going to an event where I was kind of the arm candy, you know, just the husband. And she turned to me on the elevator. Right. We actually went down to Florida and we were staying in a nice hotel. She looked at me and said, "Do not drink too much." And that message came to me very clearly. That's what I did. I got an O'Doul's and I, you know, you wrap the napkin around it at like cocktail hour you just drink a couple of those and it's great. So,
well, and Jim, like you said, if you go to a bar or a club, well, there may be a little water glass you can get, like at the 9:30 club, you can get a little water glass, but I could drink that in a second.
Yeah, exactly.
But if you have a can or something else,
you want something to sip on. Yep.
And it's got a little bit of that obvious hops and wheat and barley and all the stuff they make beer from. So you get the little bit of a tang. It's not bad.
You can taste some grain. You can taste a bit of a tang, like you said. So I wouldn't drink this a lot, but I could see if we ever get to go back to shows.
It has a purpose. I agree.
Yeah, totally.
This actually tastes more like regular beer than some of the other non-alcoholic beers I've had. Mm-hmm. So
I would agree. It's pretty good.
I'm sure they made it.
Yeah. I remember once St. Pauli Girl, a German beer, had a non-alcoholic brand that I remember being, you know, very watery. But this has some body to it. I think that's the key. Yep. You don't want it to be water, you know, sort of beer-flavored water.
So the song I picked for this was Beer for Breakfast by The Replacements. Because, I mean, if you're going to have beer for breakfast and you didn't want to get hammered, this would be the beer to have for breakfast.
That's right.
That makes perfect sense.
I read right. That was recorded, I think, during the Pleased to Meet Me sessions at Arden Studio.
There you go. Right. Memphis, Tennessee. Perfect.
However, I don't think they were talking about nothing.
I don't think the replacements wouldn't have been down on a lot of O'Doul's back then.
No. I will tell you my beer for breakfast story real quick. It's pretty simple, but when I lived 1 year in Southern California, people do get up and have beer for breakfast. The reason why that occurs is because college football especially, but pro football also, is on very early in the day.
Yep.
With college football, it'll be like 8:30, 9 o'clock a.m. is probably like the first game, the kickoff. But people still want to go to sports bars and cheer on their teams, especially there's a lot of, you know, people from other parts of the country who live out in California. So they literally go to sports bars at like 9 a.m. and start drinking.
Yeah, when I'm in Vegas for CES, the East Coast games are like at 9 a.m. or whatever. You know,
Yeah.
All I want to do is drink beer for breakfast.
So the reason this entry is on our excursion today is that Kellogg's, who makes Cheez-Its, they celebrate National Wine and Cheese Day, which is on July 25th.
Okay.
So last year they started this deal where they have this box that has a box of wine from House Wine and a box of Cheez-Its. They pair the Cheez-Its with the wine. And they sell it online, and it sells out in like less than an hour. It's $30.
Wow, really? That's
so cool. This year I got to write about it and say it's coming up. You need to get ready to order this. And this year they did a rosé with white cheddar Cheez-Its. This box was $30. It's already sold out. I'm sorry. But, you know, people that want to try this can go get the Cheez-Its at the store and get a rosé of their choice. I like this idea because I actually like rosé wine, but I very seldom get it because if I buy a bottle of it, I'm the only one that's going to drink it at my house. So I usually would get it when I go out, but now we don't get to go out. So. Anyway, so this is the rosé wine.
Okay, yep, we can see it there. By the way, I just want to say you guys, you're completely moving outside of my wheelhouse here, which is...
wine.
I do. Cheez-Its are definitely in my wheelhouse. I love the Cheez-Its. The rosé wine, not so much. But is it the combination of the two things in your mouth at the same time?
They paired this for a reason. So we're going to experiment and see.
Okay, so I'm going to take the Cheez-Its here. Put them in.
So the wine has a little bit of a sweetness to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Nice.
I could definitely see drinking a glass or two or three of this and eating a gigantic trough of Cheez-Its.
Yeah.
5 gallon bucket of Cheez-Its.
And that's what would happen too.
The scary thing is we hadn't bought Cheez-Its in ages, and this box of Cheez-Its came into the house, and now we're eating Cheez-Its every day. So now I'm at the store. Yeah. I went and bought a box because all the white cheddar Cheez-Its are gone.
Cheez-Its will get you, man. You start eating those things, and you're not going to
stop. Now they have like six different flavors white cheddar of them or whatever. So
there's all these great flavors. Mm-hmm. I know. It's amazing.
I'm a fan of the extra burnt ones. Have you guys had those? They're called like extra toasty.
Yes, I love those.
Those are great. Burnt within an inch of their lives. It's really good.
Now, I'm not a wine connoisseur, but I know when I have bad wine. This is not bad wine.
Nope.
So I would I would this highly recommend house wine. Anybody?
Yeah.
Not overly expensive, I don't think. So.
All right. So to recap, at one point you would buy this as a set. Yeah. It comes as a set with the Cheez-Its, but now those are sold out.
Yeah, they just do it once a year, a limited thing, just to kind of get promotion.
But you can make your own.
If people can go Google Cheez-It, they'll go to the Cheez-It website and they'll tell them pairings they can make. But yeah, I think this would work. If you went to the store and bought white cheddar and you had some rosé, I think it'd be a nice little snack.
Really good.
It's not bad.
Yep.
So,
I mean, if you're at Wolf Trap, perhaps, waiting for the opening act, that'd be a good cold bottle of rosé on a summer evening, right, with some Cheez-Its. That'd be a good... Good combo.
But don't you think part of what gives this some special appeal right now is the fact that everybody's at home?
It's like this gives you something.
Yeah. Sitting at home, nothing would be better than to have a box of Cheez-Its and a box of wine.
Right? That's right.
I mean, you've been home for 4 months and you're just like, the news, you know, the news today, oh boy, you know, type of thing.
I've given up completely.
Just give up.
Just mix them together there in a big thing. I'll just drink it all down.
Put it all in a blender.
Like a bucket.
So for this one, I paired a song originally written by Delbert McClinton, Two More Bottles of Wine by Emmylou Harris. Nice. Because we have more wine coming up.
Yep. Came out west together with a common desire. People we had might have set the west coast on fire.
Okay, this one you gave me a whole bottle. You got me a too. Bottle too,
yes,
Patrick?
I do. I felt like Mike must have messed up, but he's like, no, I got three bottles. So thank you so much, Mike.
There's an Italian winery called Ecco Domine. Mm-hmm. Domine, I think I'm saying that right. And they have a special bottle coming out right now because August 4th is National White Wine Day. Yeah. And this bottle is special is because fashion designer Brandon Maxwell, I'm sure you guys know him well, created a special limited edition label. And this is in stores now. And this is economically priced. It's about $11, I think, a giant. Right. And this Mr. Maxwell is world renowned. He's dressed Michelle Obama and Lady Gaga.
Oh, wow. Nice.
So I learned lots on this one. They're promoting that, you know, that the, I guess it's the 4th on Monday.
Tuesday. So as this airs, that would be yesterday.
So if you want to celebrate that you missed National White. We'll let you in.
I just got to tell you, Mike, looking at the three of us, I would say fashion is pretty far outside of our purview here on the show.
Well, I'm trying to help expand the listener base. So,
I appreciate that.
So this is a Pinot Grigio. I actually like Pinot Grigio.
Opening this.
Me too.
Here we go.
That's nice.
Mm-hmm. It's a bottle cap. Sir, would you like to?
So when, whatever you don't finish in this setting, you can put in the fridge for tomorrow.
Well, it's interesting. You know, the screw top has really come back with wine now, right, Mike? Nowadays, the screw top is not to be frowned upon, especially if you like some of the wines from New Zealand and Australia. Some of those, they all have screw tops. I don't think they do any cork now.
So. Well, I'm not an expert on this, but I think there is a cork shortage and the cost of cork is big.
That was the other reason. Yeah. And it's a lot easier. You don't have to find a cork screw and you don't have to stab yourself in the hand trying to screw the cork off.
Get a hernia trying to hold the bottle between your legs. It took me a while to learn how to
show this one. Am I behind? Did you guys show this one?
I did not show it. I'm sorry. I just started drinking. We're to that point in the podcast where I just start drinking.
No, that's fine. I have no problem with that. Pinot Grigio. This is my wife's favorite variety is the Pinot Grigio.
Her favorite varietal? Yes.
So this is a little sweeter than the other one. I mean, I like it.
Yeah.
I'm not sure I would choose it over the other one, but they're both good.
It is summery
wines.
Yeah, definitely. The sun should be up when you're drinking this. I'll tell you two things. One, white wine, as I've read, I'm an asthmatic. I don't know if a lot of people know that, but I take asthma medicine. But white wine has, for years, been helpful with lung expansion and like lung soothing. So, it's very interesting. Some of the malolactic properties, apparently. I've come to drink a little white wine over the years because why stop smoking? The other thing I'll say too is that, you know, if you've ever go to a wine tasting, sometimes they'll start you off on, you know, like a mild red and they'll take you up, but at the end they'll give you a dessert wine, which is literally like 98% sugar. And this is sweet, but it's nothing, right? Like it's syrup. Nothing like that.
Yeah. I make no claims to know what I'm talking about. So this is, this may be very fine. It's just totally not for me. It's just not my thing. But I'll use the line that I use with any kind of alcohol, which is this. I don't really like it. After I've drunk this bottle, I'm not getting it again.
Right? Not going to waste my investment, though.
I kind of live by that motto.
That's right.
Yeah. So, interestingly, Lady Gaga has a song called Grigio Girls.
Really?
Her album, Joanne.
Huh.
So I thought that'd be a good song to pair with this. So.
I was 23. She was 35. I was spiraling out. And she was so alive. A Texas girl, real strong. Taught me this strong song. So when I start to fall, she says, let your teardrops fall on the Pino. Pino Grigio girls, pour your heart out. Watch your booze turn gold on the Pino. Pino Grigio girls, keep it real cold. Cause it's a fired up world. Make it all make sense.
Does it all Our next stop on the alcohol adventure. Like you said earlier, we have a history with whiskey and musicians. You know, previously we tried five of them, including whiskeys tied up, inspired and made by Bob Dylan and Metallica and people like that.
Yep.
So there's a new whiskey coming out
this
month, and it has kind of an outlaw country music flavor because it's called Eric Church Limited Edition Jack Daniel's Single Barrel Tennessee Whiskey.
Sweet.
So I'm not a big whiskey person. So
no,
I'm going to ask Jim. I mean, Jim, would I?
This is where I'm at.
Would I put it on
completely
ice, or what would I do with this? Or just drink straight?
You could. I don't want to pretend like I know more than I do, because I don't. If Rob Gates were here, he could probably explain this stuff a lot better than I do. I mostly just drink it. I don't think about it too much.
Well, I can do that.
But I do know that Jack Daniel's is a Tennessee whiskey. I do know that that is different from bourbon and often gets confused with bourbon. In fact, I know this as a fact as a bourbon drinker. Maybe not so much today, since bourbon has had a renaissance. But you know, several years ago, when you would go say like, "What kind of bourbons do you have at a place?" and they'd say, "Oh, we have Jack Daniel's."
Right.
You're like, "No, that's not. That's something else." So it is different. And I always think of Tennessee whiskey as being a little harsher, not quite as smooth, a little more rot gut kind of stuff. That's why it always had appeal, more of an outlaw image, more of like a biker Harley Davidson sort of image to Jack Daniel's, right?
The Eric Church Pipehouse, right?
Yes, it totally makes sense. And you know, you think of also in music, I think Jack Daniel's was always big in sort of like the country music.
How did that happen?
Community,
Jim?
Right? Because of Tennessee, probably first off.
Right.
You know, it's Tennessee whiskey and country music's based in Tennessee. So I think that made sense. And then also it fed into sort of the kind of more masculine, you know, image that a lot of these guys were trying to
I think so. I remember going to high school, you know, where there was a division between what we used to call like freaks and jocks, man. I think the logo for Jack Daniel's meant a lot. Like the logo when you wore it was like the rebel flag, you know, or like Budweiser, like it was like, I'm a badass and, you know, this is what I wear, even if you've never took a drink of whiskey in your life.
When you think about just like, that like image and marketing and so on, bourbon, even for like a hard liquor, had a little bit more of a cachet to it, a little bit more of a Southern gentleman sort of image to it, right? Whereas whiskey, you know, whiskey with a capital W, that was more like the working man's drink, right?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And that's like Keith Richards would drink it too. That's so you'd be like, oh, that's cool. Cause he was trying to emulate the blues guys and all that.
So,
all right, let's try
it. Well, a little bit of back while you drink it, a little bit of background, I'll tell you. So apparently, so they say the barrels were personally selected by Eric and the master distiller named Jeff Arnett.
Mm-hmm.
And they offer a significant depth of aroma ranging from sweet vanilla and caramel to toasted and charred oak.
I'm drinking this right out of this jar that you brought it over it.
Mine,
I figure that's the way to go with the Jack
Daniels and everything. I got a COVID-19 test before I eat it.
Yeah, see, this is a little.
So I can see where you, why people have Jack and Coke.
You know, a bourbon.
Mm. Yep.
Yeah. Or shots. Yeah. You know, that's another thing too.
Yeah.
It's just like,
and then
get
chase
it down,
with a
man.
Beer to soothe the burn. Yeah.
I'm not sure I would do a shot of this and shoot a mustard beer afterwards, though.
No.
You were asking before about would you have this on ice? Would you have it, you know, what have you? I mean, yes, I think Jack Daniel's Tennessee whiskey, you can drink it on the rocks just like any whiskey. But I do think it tends to go better as like a shot drink or a mixer. Right. Right. Or that kind of thing, as opposed to it's not as much of a sipping,
so it's not like drinking stock
whiskey as like a Maker's Mark would be or something like that. Right?
But it has a, I love the aftertaste. What's in my mouth now after I've drunk it, you know what I mean? But now when it goes right down.
What do you mean by that,
it's
Mike?
Strong.
So, you know, after you've had a drink of something and the esters or whatever, it's still in your mouth. There's some aftertaste and it's kind of flowing around in there. And as you talk, it kind of goes into your nose. And
I'm feeling it. Fluttering around the right side of my brain and slowly heading this way.
I'm not sure how much of it is the mustard beer and the white wine and the red wine. But I mean,
you know, the other thing with a whiskey too is a lot of times it'll you'll drink it, the liquid will go down, and then some like vapor will sort of come back.
Stomach will be going, what are you doing?
Guess, right.
But do you sniff a whiskey before you drink it, like wine? Do you really get in there and like, I don't know.
Maybe some of the higher end stuff, people do that to sort of get the aroma and flavor, but it gets kind of pretentious, right? That's not a Jack Daniel's thing. That's more of like a maybe scotch, you know, or maybe something similar like a cognac or something like that, you know, you know, a brandy. You definitely want that. But no, I mean, you think of Jack Daniel's, I think of like a guy lining up a bunch of shot glasses and all in like one pour,
just filling them all, right?
And here you go.
Eric Church has a single that came out a month ago called Stick That In Your Country Song. I'm an Eric Church fan.
Oh, sweet. I've never heard his music.
I saw him at the phone booth a couple years ago, and I will say that he brought the closest to a rock concert aura or a country performer other than Garth Brooks did. I mean, it felt like that, you know.
And when you say rock, like, Mike, what does he get closest to? Like Neil Young or, you know, the Stones or what is he?
It's more about the presentation.
It's really hard to put
it
that way. He's a singer-songwriter with a rock and roll band behind him, you know, and like Mick Jagger is not a singer-songwriter. We would think of him. And Neil kind of, but Neil is also a lead guitarist. Yep. But Garth Brooks is a performer, an entertainer. I think Eric Church is an entertainer in a way. He's evolved from a singer-songwriter to an entertainer. And he can sell out of an NBA arena or whatever and can do it. But
well, that makes sense. I mean, that makes sense. It totally does.
But I think the obvious song to have with this would be a song called Drink in My Hand from his album Chief, which is probably best known for the song Springsteen. But Drink in My Hand is a great drinking song.
Great.
All right, cool. I'll bottom up.
Early Monday morning to Friday at 5, man, I work, 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 but I don't climb, climb, climb. Boss man can shove that overtime up his can. All I want to do is put a drink in my hand.
You know, we kind of went through all the stuff that all the marketers kind of wanted us to try. And I'll say, I think all of them have their strengths and their worthiness, you know?
Yeah.
But so
agreed.
There's a lot of international famous beer days, you know, celebrate beer. And I kind of joke when I go on Twitter, I'm like, every day is IPA day to me, or every day is beer day to me. Because, I mean, after, you know, 15, 16 hour shift with my mouse and keyboard, you know, I'm going to have a beer every day probably. So, but coming up are some days worth remembering: National IPA Day, August 6th, and International Beer Day, August 7th. And I just thought you guys ought to have one of my favorite IPAs I'm drinking right now from Settle Down Easy Brewery in Falls Church.
Is it actually?
I'm not sure if that's in Falls Church or where
it is in Falls Church. Yep, it's just inside the line. The Beltway is the line, so it's just inside.
Settle Down Easy is the cool name place, of the brewery. You've had this stuff before. I have not.
Yep.
I got to tell you just real quickly while we're waiting for Mike that it was so exciting today to have somebody like come to the house. Like, it's been so long that somebody has like come to the house. We were distance on the back deck, and we, you know, he came around back and we just sat on the back deck and it was great.
Okay. So this is a brewery that's just over a year old. I think you guys know in the past, about the same time, right around this time, this brewery opened, my favorite brewery in Falls Church closed, the Mad Fox. And so I eventually found a new watering hole. And what's interesting is their name actually has some involvement in music. It's from a lyric in the Grateful Dead song, Ramble on Rose. Now, I did not know that until I did my homework on the brewery, you know, back in the day when I went to visit them. And this is an IPA. It is
so good.
And the reason I like this beer, it's called Hopwaphonic. The reason I like this beer, other than the cool logo, is that is I've had so many hazy, citrusy, orange grapefruit IPAs that I really all of a sudden want to go back to the more traditional West Coast IPA. And that's what this is.
Could you enlighten us all a little bit about that, Mike? Like, what is the big difference between the classic West Coast IPA and the New England IPA that have been, you know, pretty trendy over the past couple of years?
The West Coast IPA became kind of that resiny, piney.
Piney. That's it.
It had an aroma to it, you know.
Right.
And then New England IPAs began to kind of have a hint of juice.
It was the juice, right? The citrus.
Yeah. And I want to say that they use a hop called Citra.
Yeah.
Citra. Because, and Citra has a...
and Mosaic is another really popular
hop that has... They both have citrusy characteristics.
Right.
Then, once people started liking the New England IPA, brewers began to test hazier, more citrusy. And some of them are so citrusy, it reminds me of when I used to drink unsweetened orange juice.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's just too much for me. I mean, I'm...
Right.
I'm old enough that my digestive system doesn't need pure orange juice, and it's just...
And I'll tell you, you know, the other thing to me, Mike, is that I used to go drink at this place called Space Bar over in Falls Church all the time. There used to be a record store connected to it. It was the most dangerous place of all time. Right now, you go drink like three really good beers, and then I just bought a Lou Reed record for how much? But, you know, when you're in a bar like that where it's loud and noisy and hazy, when you have that, you know, orange juicy looking glass in your hand, you know, it looks cool.
It does look cool. But I mean, at some point,
that was another thing about, I think, about New England IPA. You walk in and you're like, I want that, you know, that looks like a glass of orange juice or whatever. It's got vitamins.
So I saved this beer for my
look at logo that. Product. There it is, man.
So you can see this, you can see through this.
Yeah. Yeah, you can. Totally. And whereas in New England, you probably wouldn't be able to, but nice. This is delicious. I've had it and it's so good.
It has plenty of flavor. I mean, it's got,
it does ton. Yep. And I love that resiny piney kind of taste. And, and you're exactly right. I don't know. I think people get swept up in trends with beer, but you know, New England IPAs, you know, you have to be careful. Cause I mean, I remember one time we were at Jim's and I brought a growler over, Mike, and it was like drinking orange juice. It really was. It was so sweet. I mean, it can go so far off one end and so far off the other.
And I'm not saying I won't drink them again. And I'm not saying they're not bad. It's just
there's a lot of good ones. I mean, I think Sierra Nevada's Hazy Little Thing is a great balance between everything. And it's
after I finish this, widely available.
You get it really cold, and you know, and you pay, I don't know what, $16-17 for a 12 pack, and it's a great value. This is really good, though.
So this is great because it's straight from the source. They have a small individual canner. You know, they can at a time by hand. And I really like it. So beyond these national days of celebration for marketing purposes aren't just alcoholic. I mean, August 6th is National Root Beer Float Day. If people want to celebrate that, August 10th is National S'mores Day. But I kind of, you know, they gravitate to me with, you know, beer and wine and things like that. You know, so we've had so many different kinds of alcohol today. I thought my favorite drinking song of all time is One Bourbon, One Scotch, and One Beer. I love the George Thorogood version, obviously, is originally performed by John Lee Hooker, you know, in 1966. But that song is just awesome.
All right. Great shout. Well, thanks very much, Mike.
Thank you, Mike.
Well, it was fun. I'm glad you guys were interested and wanted to, you know, serve as the guinea pigs on this project.
I think we should continue it. And I think we should take it up a notch.
I liked all these. I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to look at the list here again, because I may have forgotten. If I were going to pick my favorite of what you served us here today, I actually think it's the mustard beer. I like the mustard beer a lot. That was really good. Just very, you know, just different, you know? And I thought really refreshing. I like this IPA probably second.
Yep.
And then the rest of them are kind of a toss-up. So just go with that.
Yep.
Although anything with Cheez-Its, that might be number three.
Yeah, that's pretty good. I actually kind of like the rosé wine. I thought it was pretty good.
Yeah.
It's pretty good. But I'm going to put the Hopwafonic number one.
Well, I mean, I'm obviously biased with the Hopwafonic, but I mean, that was kind of an outlier. You know, I will say that I was surprised at how good the mustard beer was.
It's pretty impressive,
honestly,
man.
I was surprised at Budweiser Zero, to be honest with you.
Yeah, agreed.
Oh, I've been cleansing my palate with that all night.
I like that.
So, and I mean, and both the wines were fine.
Yes.
Yeah, but, they were not offensive. I'll tell you this, the idea of marinating some brats in that mustard beer is genius. That's a great idea. On a summer day afternoon, put some brats on the grill with the mustard beer. Yeah, very good.
It would be interesting if you had a brat and you had a glass of that beer, what it would be like as a pairing. Yep. And so, like I said, people can buy that. They could buy that on Craft Shack. .com, and if they want to try it, they're welcome to.
And what's your account number on there?
Well, you left off part of that sentence. People can buy that for us on Craft Shack.
They could do that too. They could.
Right?
It's and funny. You can send it to box.
You say this because if you hadn't got on this thing, I was going to send you guys a box with a couple Bud Zeros in there just to kind of. But I would have been afraid you were going to open it on an episode and it's got Budweiser Zero in here.
Yeah. All right.
Some
cool
guy just left two beers on our porch.
Well, all right. Well, we can keep drinking, but let's end the episode now.
I totally agree.
Let's put the people out of their misery. Tomorrow on the show, we are going to talk about new music, Patrick. We're going to get back into our new music mode. So we're going to do
that. I'm excited, Jim.
So get ready. Sleep off this hangover tomorrow, and then let's do that. And if anyone would like to comment at all on the alcohol that we had, or correct me on how I describe things, that's fine. You can call 612-440-1984. There you go. Or email rock@suburbspod.com. Or find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. In fact, I just tweeted and Instagrammed out a photo of the various alcohols we have here. All those are at Suburbs Pod. All right, let's get out of here, guys. It's Rock in the Suburbs. I'm Jim Lenihan.
And I'm Echo Domine. I mean, Patrick Foster.
Okay, and?
And I'm Mike Hopofonic Snyder.
There you go. We'll talk to you guys tomorrow.
No one bourbon, one scotch, one beer. No, I ain't seen my baby since the night before last. Gotta get a drink, man, I'm gonna get gas. Gonna get high, man, I ain't had enough. Need me a triple shot of that stuff. Gonna get drunk, won't you listen right here. I want one bourbon, one shot, one beer. One bourbon, one shot, one beer. Well, all right.
Are you still talking?
Am I still talking?